The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz and said, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign for yourself, coming either from the depths of Sheol or from the heights above." "No," Ahaz said, "I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Listen now, house of David. Are you not satisfied with trying the patience of men without trying the patience of my God too? The Lord himself, therefore, will give you a sign. It is this: the maiden is with child and will soon give birth to a son, whom she will call Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us." The second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews. Bull's blood and goat's blood are useless for taking away sins, and this is what Christ said on coming into the world: "You who wanted no sacrifice or oblation prepared a body for me. You took no pleasure in holocausts or sacrifices for sin." Then I said, just as I was commanded in the scroll of the book, "God, here I am. I am coming to obey your will." Notice that he says first, "You did not want what the law lays down as the things to be offered," that is, the sacrifices, the oblations, the holocausts, and the sacrifices for sin, "and you took no pleasure in them." And then he says, "Here I am. I am coming to obey your will." He is abolishing the first sort to replace it with the second. And this will was for us to be made holy by the offering of his body, made once and for all by Jesus Christ. The Gospel reading is from the Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He went in and said to her, "Rejoice, so highly favored, the Lord is with you." She was deeply disturbed by these words and asked herself what this greeting could mean. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have won God's favor. Listen, you are to conceive and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "But how can this come about, since I am a virgin?" "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," the angel answered, "and the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. And so the child will be holy and will be called Son of God. Know this too: your kinswoman Elizabeth has in her old age herself conceived a son, and she whom people called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible to God." "I am the handmaid of the Lord," said Mary. "Let what you have said be done to me." And the angel left her. In the first reading, the Lord offers King Ahaz a sign, coming either from the depths of Sheol or from the heights above. This is where we would expect any decent sign to come from out of this world, either from the depths or from the heights, something to make us sit up and take notice. The sign eventually given is not the one first offered, an offer Ahaz rejects. Instead, it is the most natural, the most ordinary sign. A young woman will give birth to a son, and her son will not only continue the line of David, but will rule wisely and well. He is Hezekiah, one of the best of the kings of Judah, the son of Ahaz, and the young woman. More of the same, then, we might be tempted to say. But in the circumstances of threats against Judah, the southern kingdom, and the fall of Israel, the northern kingdom, a sign that Judah would survive and even prosper was surely a welcome one. And this is what the birth of this good king meant. God was still with his people. Mary does not exactly ask for a sign when she hears Gabriel's message. How can this come about, she says, since I am a virgin? The natural and ordinary pregnancy and birth of this child, another son of the house of David, becomes supernatural and extraordinary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the child will be holy and will be called Son of God. Undoubtedly a sign from the heights above, then, this child who will rule wisely and well, and whose kingdom, unlike that of Hezekiah, will have no end. What about the depths of Sheol, though? Well, he's to be called Jesus, or Joshua, the one who led the people through the waters of the Jordan, out of the wilderness and into the land flowing with milk and honey. Let what you have said be done to me, Mary says, and the child is conceived in her body. The offering of the body the child receives from Mary is the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. This is what today's second reading teaches. The natural and ordinary is under constant threat from the depths of Sheol. All that is and lives and seeks to love is pulled down by a void of nothingness from which it has come, by the fascination of evil which distorts its desire, by a kind of gravity towards death which brings disintegration, disharmony, and utter darkness. So the body cannot remain peaceful and serene, natural and ordinary. As he grows in strength and wisdom, so too forces of evil gather against him, and the kingdom that has no end is established through a battle that pits the heights above against the depths of Sheol. Asked whether he thought Vatican II's document on the church in the world should be more optimistic or more pessimistic, Cardinal Jean Danielou replied, "Both." We are unlikely to overestimate the power of darkness. Part of its power is precisely to turn us the other way, to underestimate its power, except when we see it working dramatically in others, even to forget it as applying to ourselves. But we can never overestimate the power coming from above, the power of the Spirit that overshadowed Mary, the power of the Holy King who is called Son of God, the power of the Father, infinite and eternal, wise and good. The battle is engaged in the body Jesus received from his mother. All who are incorporated into that body draw close to this battle. Mary in the first place, in the sufferings she endured. All who make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. The church, which is his body, and which itself at times seems close to disintegration, disharmony, utter darkness. We may not have asked for a sign, perhaps for fear of tempting the Lord our God, but we have been given one, not in the ordinary and naturally beautiful body of the child recently born, but in the body hanging on the cross, a body which Mary allowed to come about. Let what you have said be done. A body that remains a sign of contradiction, revealing the depths of the world's sin, but from whose defeated side flows the life of that kingdom that is without end, the everlasting kingdom of justice, love, and peace.